Hi everyone, welcome to another podcast from Common Ground Resources. Today we have two wonderful men in the room, Ryan Termeshazen and Rigby Wallace, two of our incredible leaders in the Common Ground story. And today we're going to be looking at teaming in leadership, which is something that I think every church needs to be growing in, certainly. And it is one of the things that Common Ground is certainly passionate about and in many areas worth emulating. And so I'm going to ask Ryan if you can introduce Rigby, and Rigby, if you can introduce Ryan.
Great. Well, thank you, Julie. Great to have the privilege of doing this. Rigby Wallace planted Common Ground Church 22 years ago now in 1997, and has had the privilege of being at the helm of the church over the 22 years of its existence. Rigby's a visionary leader who's got a huge pastoral heart and also heart for good Bible-based theology, giving a lead and foundation to the church. I think one of the other gifts that Rigby's brought to our story over the many years has been an open-handedness with regards to recognizing and releasing gifts and leaders. And so has had a great ability to hold some strong leaders who could easily have led other things in their own capacity and right together, and get in many ways sons operating as brothers in the story over years. And we've seen some guys go out and lead other stories and, you know, done that beautifully, but Rigby's held the tension of being a strong leader but also an open-handed, empowering leader beautifully. So still remains leader of Common Ground Church 22 years later, while we also get the privilege of now co-leading, which we've been doing for the last 2 years.
Fantastic. And Rigby?
Thanks, Julie, and thank you, Ryan, for those kind words. It has been a fantastic journey and huge privilege to be part of a story that is in many ways still emerging. But I guess one of the great blessings of my life is to have seen key young leaders emerge in our story who had a very clear sense of the call of God in their lives, whilst at the same time being diamonds in the rough. And it's taken more than me to polish those diamonds. It's a wonderful reality to see how God has done that, and how through the very concept of team, we've been able to see facets of our individual uniqueness add color and sparkle to the story we're all a part of. Ryan, in particular, is, apart from being an amazing friend to me, and without being patronizing, I see him as a kind of a son in the faith, but I have massive respect. And what's been unique about our story is to see, as we have put God at the center of what we're doing, gospel as our kind of fountainhead doctrine, we've realized individually that we're not that good, and that to catalyze obedience and fruitfulness in our story is required us to learn some of the intricacies and skills of partnering together. And the miracle, of course, is that we end up looking way better than we are. Ryan has this amazing set of what I would call strategic gifts. Apart from being incredibly wise and his ability to read both people and situations, I think we've just sparked in each other a great ambition to do more for God, and more about that later.
Wonderful. I think you've both touched on it already, but Ryan, I think also being a leader in the Common Ground story, I would concur that Rigby has been not only a great leader, but an incredible leader maker. And Rigby, just some of your journey on that, because I think it is something that we recognize on you and in your life. Have you always kind of felt that way about leadership, or how have you kind of evolved as a leader? What's been your journey of becoming, in a sense, very open-handed with leadership?
I think the honest answer to that is you get moments in your life where you can settle for the fruit hanging on your own branches, so to speak, or you see, as it were, the potential for massive fruit to hang on many branches. Mm-hmm. And without overworking the analogy, it does take a certain amount of humility and a self-audit to realize that the vision of God is way bigger than any one set of, you know, no matter how specialized the gifts are, we really do need much, much more. So I think in the early days, as this church was gathering momentum and growth and the demands and the pressures, it became almost self-evident that there were limits on my life. But at the same time, I began to see there were sort of unlimited possibilities in the Common Ground story in terms of it being a hothouse of leadership development. And then I made it a very intentional spiritual discipline to light fires, to have guys around my dining room table in my home, corridor moments with guys. And yeah, I think we sit on the other side of having taken some ground, but I certainly don't feel we've arrived.
I think also just to say that I remember years gone by where I kind of experienced Rigby as being a little bit of a tight-handed leader, closed fist, and then it took some maturing in my own life to realize that his close-handedness and tightness was actually around non-negotiable conviction things that he was testing in people. And so that sometimes takes more time, but then kind of being on the other side of testing those, you know, non-negotiable conviction dynamics, experiencing Rigby then as an incredibly open-handed, generous, releasing, empowering, encouraging leader.
Yeah, that's
and I think
great.
In the teaming dynamic, realizing that there are some things we've got to be close-handed around and
you've
some things
tightly.
That then hopefully once we've settled those things, we can be empowering and encouraging around.
Yes, that's great. And so is there kind of a ministry theological kind of underpinning behind your conviction?
Great question. I think one of the things we, particularly over the last couple of years, we've been really emphasizing is the fact that in the doctrine of creation, in redemption, and ultimately in the restoration of all things, we see teeming. We see the Trinitarian God beautifully working together in the orchestration of all things material. And then in redeeming all those who are image bearers and ultimately eradicating all evil from the universe and leaving us with a new heavens and a new earth. I mean, this is a glorious picture, but actually it's the product of a divine Trinitarian teaming. And I think that's been something that we felt really, really strongly about. The second sort of what I'd call a theological underpinning is the concept of mission. What happens is when mission takes a hold of your heart and your life, it becomes less about the egos and self-realization or finding our sweet spot. And I love the acronym I heard a while back about ego. It means edging God out. You can't build sustainable teams in ministry if we're not wholly given to the mission of God in the world. And so the bigger story gives meaning to our parts as we do that. So I'd say those two big things. God is team, and his mission demands a servant-heartedness and a humility and a grace in the way we express the same mutuality in the Trinity is in our relationship.
Yeah, I'd also say that I think clearly looking at Jesus' life, I mean, he was God incarnate, and his ability to get on with mission and make it happen, and there was no lack of ability, and yet he even chose to find himself operating in the context of team. And so we see it for the sake of mission in the Trinity, so origins and also kind of outworking, but in his example, he gave us such a beautiful example. Rigby's often called us to kind of subordinating ego to the greater humility of Christ for the purposes of mission. And it's amazing. I know nobody around here coined this phrase, but that little phrase around, it's amazing how much can get done when we don't matter that much around who's getting the credit.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful humility that comes into saying, hey, the mission is far greater than who's going to get the credit for it. You know, let's get on.
Than one individual. Yeah. And I think another thing that I think I've heard, I don't know if you are the original author of this quote, but I think one underpinning kind of philosophy that I've seen at Common Ground from you, Rigby, and Ryan is that strong conviction that that what is good for the mission and what is good for the church, not what's good for any one individual or leader. And I think that's a reality of there's moments when we have to defer and we have to actually sacrificially put down what's good for us because there's something larger at stake, which both of you guys have echoed. So now moving on to practically.
I want to just say one other thing that, that I think is helpful for us and anybody listening to this chat is that there's a deep affection in the Trinity. And Jesus had a deep affection with that original team. And I think one of the things that I want to give my life to, and hopefully we will imbibe this as a Common Ground distinctive, is that we really are a band of brothers. And in even Ryan and I, as we sort of co-lead in this season of Common Ground, we want it to overflow out of a deep affection and sort of echo the covenantal love of the gospel.
That's wonderful.
Otherwise, we end up as sort of a servants of a utilitarian God who has this mission, who wants it done, but he's not all that excited about how thrilled we are and, and whether our lives are animated with his virtues while we go about it. So everything in me, when I look at Ryan, every time I see him, I just feel this affection. And I think that's true in the way we brother together as a wider team. It's so important to say that. Otherwise, it can feel like how to do the technical side of leadership teaming. And actually, there's some other deeper work of the Holy Spirit in our midst.
I think it's just so clear that that's the kind of thing over, you know, the last two decades that we've invested in as a church is you don't kind of, you know, build those deep affections just by working together. There's an element of needing to be in each other's lives and, you know, having fun together and choosing to take the weight of responsibility off each other's shoulders and just enjoy friendship and partnership. And around here at Common Ground, we every year in a number of different ways invest in the relational dynamics and having fun together and, you know, remaining brothers and friends first before kind of, you know, even just being colleagues in the missional elements of things. So I think it's one of those things that's built over time, but it also can be invested in. And we would really encourage churches that we, you know, have the privilege of sharing with and things to invest in the relational well-being of your team, times away and kind of beginning of the year vision camps and bras and, you know, thank you moments and just the opportunity to pray together, play together. Those are beautiful things in building the relational teaming dynamic.
But it's not all easy.
Yes.
Because you're also talking about diverse gifts, diverse histories. Maybe even a little bit of diverse motivation, you know, how you wired and what makes you come alive.
And at least a little bit of diverse opinion.
And I think what happens in particularly over the last few years is that we're all learning the grace of deferment, where we want people to play the gift. I often find myself listening to Ryan and thinking, I might have a different opinion here, but it feels like he's thought it through better than me. And I don't want to play the card of, you know, founding father, because the honor of an individual is not at the heart of our mission. It's moving the mission forward is at the heart of our mission, which means I need, and whether it's Ryan and I teaming together or whether I'm teaming with other guys, I'm always listening to, and I love to defer, and that deferment creates a culture of authorization. People begin to feel authorized and trusted, and it's an unusual thing because we're sort of halfway in discovering this. I don't think we're easily going to give it up because it's worth fighting for.
Yeah. And I think the other way around too, Rigby, the elements of where you are, I think all of us naturally look to you as a founding father in the story. You 20 years, you know, are senior of any of the rest of the congregation leaders across the city. And so I think that has been made easier for you when we naturally gift you that deferment of kind of that leadership. And it's never been asked for from your side because we've naturally found it a joy to say, hey, Rick, here's what I think. But, you know, willing for you to disagree really opens the door for a natural non-confrontational kind of, you know, robustness in the conversation. So I think if that is open-handed from senior leaders towards guys coming through saying, hey, you know, recognize what's happening in your life, recognize that opinion, recognize that you've given this some thought, mixed with you know, a natural deferment to experience and wisdom and years of kind of being in the leadership saddle, that little combination creates quite a nice, you know, culture of deferment and honor in a natural kind of way.
Yes, yeah.
So we're a church with many words. We're at the heart of moving the church forward is so many conversations, so much praying, so much preaching, prophesying. We're a church of many words. But what's so important is that everybody gets to have their say. And I think in terms of our partnership and kind of co-leading in the season of the Common Ground story, we never want to feel like we've ever walked away from a time together where things have been unsaid or you're having to internalize. And so the beauty of that means the political kind of insecurity culture that can creep in. We've just said a very, very firm no to that. We're going to make sure that no matter how comfortable we have the conversations, Ryan often says to me, Rig, can I just have a word with you? And then I think I know what's coming, and he's brilliant at reading me because he says, Rig, help me to understand what you meant when you said this, that, and the other. Again, it's making sure that we're heard, that we're understanding, and that we're listening. And there have been times when I've clarified and, you know, Ryan has said, wow, that's so good, I agree 100%. Other times he would just, you know, lovingly and yet courageously say, Rick, have you thought about this? I think there might be another way to think of this. And I think we've learnt to read each other's both spiritual and emotional logbooks in the way we team, and that's been a joy.
And I think also along with that is recognizing, Rigby, you have often said the thing about authority. Authority is like a bar of soap. The more you use it, the less you have. and us, yeah, there's credit in the way that you've made room for those conversations. I think in many ways, teaming is diminished when you have a senior leader who's shutting the conversation down more often than opening it up. And I think you've had a grace in being willing to open up the conversation that has created room for us.
Yeah, and non-defensive.
Robustly find the third way, the better way, because we're seeing this issue through more eyes than our own, and we genuinely are listening to each other, which often is not a, you know, a leadership trait. Leadership is often better at speaking than listening. But I think in the context of teaming is greatly enhanced when your listening ear is quite attuned to what others have got to say and the contributions they're making. Yeah.
That's wonderful. It just reminds me that before we can really lead anyone else, we have to lead our own hearts, hey? And kind of bring defensiveness and egos and all those kind of things that so easily can kind of creep in to the cross. And I think
so you've mentioned what I would call as the sort of starting point that makes possible the kind of conversation we're having today. It's that Proverbs verse that says that we're to guard our hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. But what most people miss is the few words before that where the wise man says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so the self-leadership dynamic of saying yes to becoming a certain kind of person under Jesus is a huge thing, because at the end of the day, getting the job done at the expense of being more like Jesus is going to be a contradiction to what we're called to. But if we're guarding our hearts and we're humble and Christ-like and passionate about Christ's mission, we're going to find that conflicts and disagreements, though they may come, will be really well managed, and we won't lose our joy or our relationships going forward.
I love that dynamic. I think it's what Jesus prayed for us. I think when Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, John 17, prays for us, he prays for a oneness with the Father, and secondly, a unity within the body. He's praying for a unity that would come out of that oneness with the Father, and that is the foundation. And then he speaks about that becoming actually a witness to the world. So part of our apologetic to the world around us is how we team together. And so that unity in our teaming actually becomes a witness to the world. And one of my good friends up in Johannesburg, Stephen Jack, recently, he challenged me with a question. We were talking about multi-site churches, and we were speaking about leadership gifts and things like that. And he said, do you think it's a greater sign of maturity to have autonomy or unity?
Wow.
And I think we so quickly want to jump to autonomy, being that I can stand on my own two
feet. It's easier.
It's easier in some ways. And actually, there's a greater maturity, I think, evidenced in unity than there is in just autonomy. And I think that applies to teaming and leadership. I think that applies to multi-site churches sometimes.
Absolutely.
Man, our ability to stand together is a much stronger
sign
maturity and apologetic to our world.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. I'm sitting here reflecting on behalf of our listeners who hopefully are other church leaders who are thinking about this, obviously for their own lives and in their own churches. And what I've heard you guys saying, if I was to put it into some points about healthy teaming together, it's unity, it's prioritizing relationship in a team and with other leaders that you're leading with as a priority. It's having a stance of deferring on both sides, not just one person that's constantly deferring, so that that authority, like soap, doesn't have to be used all the time and get less and less. It's skillfully having critical conversations. And Rigby, you touched on that just about how Ryan kind of says, help me understand. And I think that's so key. And it's guarding above all else our hearts. Is there anything else for other church leaders that might be feeling like this is an area they want to grow in? Are there any other lessons you've learned along the way or pitfalls
I'd
to
add
avoid?
To your list of keeping mission at the center, because that is the one that helps to subordinate the drive toward self-actualization or even unhealthy forms of significance, where that becomes almost idolatrous.
Yeah.
So mission at the center would
almost
be a very
key.
Almost
both staring at the same horizon rather than at anything else.
And I think, Jules, I'd have to, when it comes to a teaming conversation, I'd have to say that one of the key ingredients that we've explored and looked at in the teaming kind of journey is trust. And I think, you know, I'd encourage our listeners to go and get the Andy Stanley trust versus suspicion stuff and work that through, because I think generally what happens if there's a gap in between our expectations and our experience, pretty much what we can do is we're either going to fill that gap with trust or suspicion. And I think in a lot of the teaming dynamic is learning to fill the gap with trust. It's learning to say, I'm guessing that behind this is not suspicion would say it's bad motives, it's on promotion, it's trying to get ahead, or, you know, whatever it is. Whereas trust would actually say, hey, you've obviously got something going on that I'm not seeing. You're seeing this from a different place. So just the trust equation, I think, in any teaming arrangement is absolutely vital. And you know, the guys who've written books on this stuff say that's the foundation upon which you build so many of the other things. And it's worth investing in the trust conversation.
Wonderful. Yeah, I can imagine how critical that is. You mentioned Andy Stanley. Has he written a book about that? Is there
I'm guessing there's a book too, but I know we watched a DVD series that we got a hold of. We actually took our whole staff through that.
Oh, wonderful.
A good couple of years ago, Trust versus Suspicion. I'm not actually exactly sure what it's called, but it's along the lines of Trust versus Suspicion.
Mm.
And he's got some great talks and then some kind of practical little projects and, you know, workshop-y kind of
that
people can do.
Okay, great. Final question. What's at stake? Rigby, we're talking about this as kind of, in some ways, it could be seen as a kind of optional extra something that we have chosen to do within Common Ground, co-lead in this season, and you guys are doing that. How would you encourage other church leaders that maybe are feeling quite alone ahead of their pack to move toward this? Why?
Well, that's probably a top question for the session. I would say what's at stake, it's the difference between being a one-decade wonder church or possibly building something that is cathedral in nature. Because when you realize you're building with mission at the center, you'll always understand that the mission is bigger than your one and only lifespan and your role in it. And it's so important that the guy who's starting a ministry, and I think in general, there are a lot of people who are rediscovering this and they're becoming less self-seeking. But the church planter who wants to go out there and do something and blaze a trail, and he does it very often, you know, with the, you know, tragically we watch people burn out because the motivation was build something that that can maybe echo some of my personal fame. But building something that is cathedral in nature means that you're going to do something where you need a team in your generation. But you're going to need to set up the next generation to team in the same way. And it's like the story of the guy smashing rocks. What are you doing? I'm smashing rocks. The other guy, what are you doing? He says, I'm earning a living. He says to the third guy, what are you doing? He puts his sledgehammer down. He says, I'm building the cathedral. All of them were doing the same thing. But the guy building the cathedral was doing it for a different reason and could find the joy of it because he connected it to something eternal and bigger than his one and only life.
Mm.
And that, for me, is why it's so critical. We need to raise the stakes.
Mm. Yeah. Ryan?
It also feels like teaming is something, again, I think when we find our motivation in God, the Trinitarian expression, when we see it in Scripture, every local church, there's an emphasis on the plurality of leadership, you know, and even that, almost in a sense, the elders, deacons, and saints, there's multiple gifts, but they're called to be team, and they're called to be the people of God for the purpose of God. And I think ultimately, if we're wanting to see that purpose of God fulfilled, then we've got to be the people of God as God has determined us to be, which is always family, it's always community, it's always team. And so I think whether you are leading a ministry, you need to find team. You're leading a church, you need to find team. You know, you're leading churches, you've got to find team. And so I think at every single level in the local church, team should be expressed, because it best displays who God is and best displays who he's called us to be as his people. So I think we lose the team bit, we end up getting into a whole bunch of stuff that I think compromises both the mission and the representation of God.
Wow. Yeah.
And for the sake of the one or two maybe church planters out there who feel like they're on their own, consider this a loving nudge toward maybe some external, more mature gifts that you can team with. I think even just a cursory reading of Scripture, there were no New Testament churches anywhere who did not have some kind of partnership with translocal Ephesians 4 gifts that were helping them to mature, were helping them to identify and release leaders. And so at every level, whether it's teaming like Ryan and I do internally, we're also trying to set the standard for every other team dynamic in Common Ground. But even beyond the local church, we've chosen to partner with other gifts. We're there's much more grace that God wants to give us, is maybe what I'm trying to say, than what we can generate in just our own story. Wonderful. And so let's find those mature men and women out there who probably are very willing to serve us.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Rigby. And we hope you found this podcast enlightening if you've been listening. Thanks for tuning in.